Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
A meeting between HSE officials in the Midlands and the South West Meath Hospice Committee will take place tomorrow in a bid to resolve issues over the transfer of palliative care services in Athlone. It follows a controversial year for the local hospice from reports of a possible closure last August to current fears that facilities will be significantly downgraded. Our reporter John Cook can tell us more. John.
Yeah, Philip, the South West Meath Hospice has been based in the grounds of St Vincent's Hospital, a community care facility for the elderly near Athlone Town Centre, since 2010 after a long-running public fundraising campaign raised €1.4 million for its establishment, and it includes four palliative care bedrooms, private family spaces with overnight accommodation and offices for the community palliative care team there. There had been plans for a daycare facility too, but last August there was shock and anger around Athlone when the closure of the hospice was proposed, with plans to replace it with just two palliative care beds incorporated in the St Vincent's Care Centre in the short term, potentially up to four palliative care beds on offer in a new elderly care facility that's expected to be constructed in the Clonbrusk area of Athlone in the coming weeks. Well, huge public pressure forced health authorities to roll back on those proposals, and after some COVID-19 related delays, the HSE met with the hospice committee last week to share a revised blueprint, and the meeting didn't go well. The hospice committee expressed their disappointment with what they described as a totally unacceptable, a single A3 page they were given. They said it wasn't to scale. There were no floor areas noted on plans that simply don't compare to the existing facilities they fundraised for. Claire Lennon chairs the hospice committee.
We said it was like they were going to take away our beautiful four-bed home and give us what equates to a mobile home in its place. We're not happy with them because they are offering less than half of the floor space that we have now. They won't enter into conversations with us about the staffing. It's not just about the building, it's about showing that we are definitely going to get the like-for-like staffing as well, because that's a huge part of the care that will be provided to the type of people that will be using the service. So we have a state-of-the-art facility here that was paid for by the community, and we're not getting anything remotely like it in the new facility.
There is no talk of a prefab, though, or a mobile home. It is about putting these four palliative care beds into the new elderly care facility. So what's missing in the new plan?
At the moment, we are being offered four bedrooms that are en suite, and a family room that would have a kitchenette and an en suite. So it falls far short from what we have currently. We have a unit that is closed off to everybody else other than the people and the families that are using this service. It's peaceful. It's self-contained. It's just everything that it wouldn't be if it moved over to a care of the elderly facility.
John, sorry, tricky mic there. Claire Lennon of the Hospice Committee speaking to you. This is a facility you've been hearing that means a lot to the local community.
Yes, Philip, as with hospice facilities in other parts of the country I visited, I've learned the space and services on offer means so much more than bricks and mortar to the communities who've paid and continue to fundraise for them. Especially families who have been touched by their services through bereavement. Emma Heaven describes her dad, Liam, as hardworking, generous and good crack. He was a true Athlone man, she said. Born at St Vincent's Hospital in the town where I met her, and remarkably, he died there spending his last 4 weeks in the hospice after his cancer treatment at Tullamore Hospital had come to an end. This was September of 2018, Philip, and just weeks ahead of Emma's planned wedding.
Dad's focus when he came in was to walk me down the aisle, and that was, I think, she was trying to get him through the first couple of weeks. But then he noticed, I suppose, he started to get a bit frailer. The nurses then made us aware that he was unlikely to make the October wedding. So we pulled together and we actually got married in the sitting room of the hospice.
Of this hospice right here?
Yeah, that's correct. So along with the support of Father Declan, who was a huge support for Dad the whole way through his sickness, and then my very close family of myself and my husband's, we had a very intimate wedding and we got married with
and
Dad.
And the weddings have to be very intimate with COVID-19 now, but you were doing this ahead of time. And what was that like? Was there, did you 10 people or more?
We had, yeah, I suppose about 12 or 15 people in the sitting room, and my sister-in-law decorated it, and it was beautiful. Like it was really special to have that.
Was your dad able to get dressed up and give you away?
Yeah, we dressed him up. He wasn't able to walk, but I went alongside him, and one of the nurses pushed him in and I went alongside him into the room. So yeah, we were able to have that moment together. It's very special.
There mustn't have been a dry eye in that sitting room, was there?
I don't think so, no. I'm welling up just thinking of it, to be honest. At that stage, I actually really lived in the moment, because I knew that wasn't going to last forever. So I got to marry my best friend in front of my dad, and I know that he was very, very fond of him. So I couldn't ask for any more than to be able to carry out that.
Your dad died how long after that?
9 days after that, yeah.
When you come to the hospice now, so to meet me today, but you're looking, it means so much more to you. I mean, you know what those family rooms mean in there and the extra facilities it has other than palliative care beds. So how do you feel when you pass by here?
God, I find every time I drive by, I do look in and just, you know, I'm filled with memories, you know, and it's not all sadness, you know, and it just shows that it's not just about the four beds, and you do need that family space, because especially in the dying days of your loved one, it's very important that not only are you comfortable, but you're able to be there for that person. I hope, you know, no one has to go through what we went through, but if they do, they do need that facility. They do need the sitting room, the comfort, to just feel that, as I said, the home away from home. And if anyone ends up having to do what I had to do, it is special, but it was just, I wouldn't have been able to have that moment if we didn't have that space.
Emma Heavens' memories of her dad's last days there at the hospice in Athlone. What's the HSE got to say about this new facility, John?
Well, in a statement to RTÉ's Athlone office, Philip, the Health Service executive acknowledged ongoing discussions with representatives of the South West Meath Hospice. They say a further meeting has been organised for tomorrow morning for both parties to discuss future plans. Now, the Hospice Committee, as we heard, is looking for like facilities based on its current existing model and the retention of services that are separate to those of the elderly care facility. And the committee's own engineer feels there's a very wide gap between their plans and those presented by the HSE, but Chairperson Claire Lennon is hoping that might change by tomorrow.
We still want to work collaboratively with the HSE, and we just want to come out with a positive outcome. We don't want to be spending funds on fighting this, but we have a duty of care to Athlone and the wider community and the people that paid for this service initially.
The South West Meath Hospice and its questions over its future facilities became something of a political issue, obviously, for the Longford West Meath area in the general election. Well, you have had some commitments, Claire, or what has happened?
On their campaign trail, we did meet with Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar at the time individually, and they both supported our cause and they both committed, because obviously nobody at the time knew who was going to be elected, but they did both commit to supporting our cause if they were elected, and we're calling on Taoiseach and the Taoiseach now to fulfil their commitments that they made to us and to help us to preserve what Athlone and the surrounding area have already paid for and just fulfil their promises to us.
That's Claire Lennon of the South West Meath Hospice Committee ending John Cook's report from Athlone. Still to come on the programme today, the outcome of the Cabinet deliberations on whether pubs can reopen, what happened when Dana met John, and staycations. Liam Geraghty tries to unravel the linguistic thread.